The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the White House for the latest in our series celebrating the music that has shaped our American story.
Can you believe
and
this?
As someone who always shares
can
this out.
Can you believe what this man is doing?
Creative, talented.
I think he's a nut.
Somewhat stubborn.
Women. I think Obama's a nut. I think he's lost his mind, his marbles. Putin.
I think Women's History Month is the perfect.
Are you listening to this? Even you, the most diehard, foaming at the mouth liberal, are you listening to this lunatic? Are you listening to this Looney Tunes president of yours? He's your president, he's not mine. Moscow is moving in air defense missiles that can fire up to 100,000 feet. We're playing cruise missiles for you. All of the good liberals on the Upper East Side who want Mrs. Smith's son to die. For the sake of Obama's presidency, and then Hillary's, of course. While your doofus president is celebrating a music event in the White House, Mr. Putin mobilized its air and coastal defenses and more than 1,000 missile and tank units, 1,000 missile and tank units, for a month-long drill in Kapustin Yar, 450 kilometers from the Ukraine border, and one of Russia's largest missile bases. Did you hear what I just said to you? They're putting in 1,000 missile and tank units while your president is having a party with Aretha Franklin and a few close friends in the White House before he and the old lady fly off on another junket on your dime. Do you hear what's going on? It will conclude, by the way, with live firing drills by Russia and the deployment of S-300 and S-500 air defense systems in April. When Moscow calculates they may be needed, these are the missiles, to thwart any Ukrainian or Western attempt to disrupt Crimea's expected application to join the Russian Federation. This referendum was put forward 2 weeks to March 16th, and will ask 3 million Crimean citizens for a straight yes or no on whether to remain part of Ukraine and secede to Russia. Now, as we all know, since around 65% of the voters are ethnic Russians, the region's future is pretty predictable. And so to back up the referendum, instead of having a music fest in the Winter Palace, Obama is having a music fest in the White House before jetting off on another vacation. Meanwhile, your president, before the musical festival with Aretha Franklin and a few close friends, called the Russian leader and told him to cancel the referendum and bring your forces back to the bases. Get them out of there. Take them out of there and go back home. Well, Putin said that the regime in Kiev and its decisions were absolutely illegitimate, illegitimate, illegitimate. And then he went on to say that the Russian-American relationship is very important to him and it should not be sacrificed for individual, albeit rather important international issues, close quote. Did you hear what's going on? Colonel Oleg Kochetov of the Kapustin Yar District Command described the new Russian deployment as, quote, the largest ever exercise held by air defense units of the Western Military District. He goes on to say it is for the first time that all air defense units from the district, including coastal defenses of the Northern Fleet, have gathered in one place. Taking part in this exercise by Russia are S-300 long-range surface-to-air missiles, BUK Mark 1, BUK M1 medium-range missiles, and Strela 10 short-range missiles. Now, I looked up the S-300 long-range surface-to-air missile. And frankly, my blood ran cold when I realized they could engage multiple targets up to an altitude of 100,000 feet. And you want your boys to die for the Ukraine? They're not your boys, of course. You don't have children. You have pets. But the Americans who actually have children and love America are the Americans who produce the pilots, the Americans who produce the soldiers and the naval forces. And you want them to die for what reason? Can anyone listening to this show justify the death of one American in the name of Ukraine. Now, many of you are attacking me because you don't understand where I'm coming from, including fake conservatives at CNS News Services, which has become nothing but an arm of the Limbaugh cartel. Ron Paul says that the U.S. is attempting empire building in Ukraine. He agrees exactly with what I said. I agree exactly with what Ron Paul said. He said that the hostilities are rooted in empire building and vying for geopolitical control. The former congressman, Ron Paul, all of you libertarians out there, pay close attention. He's not for war. Who is for war? Why, those men are for war who are on the radio. Over there, over there. I think that they should get them some uniforms, and they should go march over there with John McCain and Lindsey Graham, that buck-toothed moron. Former congressman Ron Paul said, I don't think we have any business there. I think it would be nice if we considered the Ukrainians. It's their civil strike, their civil war, and deciding who to run that country should be left to them, said Ron Paul. Unfortunately, others get involved, and it seems like it's irresistible for the U.S. to get involved. Did you hear what I just said? The renowned libertarian Ron Paul also noted that it is highly hypocritical for the United States to lecture Russia over a violation of sovereignty. Didn't I say that 2 days ago, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation? Didn't I tell you that while they're destroying our sovereignty by flooding America with illegal aliens and flooding us with foreign laws and trying to get international law to apply in America, they're telling us to recognize the Ukraine sovereignty? Then he said, where's the $1 billion going to come from to bail out Ukraine? Paul said, we're out of money. So this idea that we're going to start bailing out Ukraine is total nonsense. He said, I don't see how we could afford that, nor should we do it. So in other words, if you actually listen to Michael Savage, rather than thinking you're listening to Michael Savage, and then you listen to the intelligent adults out there like Ron Paul, you'll see that we disagree on this issue, maybe on other issues. But if you read some of these fraudulent websites that are nothing but fronts for failed radio hosts, you'll find out that they're attacking me viciously for saying we have no business in Ukraine. They're calling me a non-conservative. You hear this? The Pope, in other words, the Pope of conservatism, whoever that may be, maybe it's L. Brent Bozo. I guess he's the Pope because I trumped him a long time ago. Since he was around a long time ago, he thought he should have been on top of the pyramid. And along came Michael Savage with no connections to the Limbaugh cartel, and look where he is today. So naturally, L. Brent Bozo and all the other out-of-work Reaganites, you know, that's what the CPAC has become. It's all the people who used to work for Ronald Reagan who haven't had a job in 20 years. They are looking for work. They're trying to do a little article here, a little article there. They do a speech here for $300. Then they get a free chicken dinner over there and a $300 trip. A free airplane ticket to Boca Raton to an old age home. I mean, the worst amongst them is the guy who looks like the walrus, the former U.N. Ambassador Bolton. This guy is so deranged that he makes Obama look sane. I mean, where does John Bolton get the polling that tells him he could be president? He's also going to throw his hat in the ring. In what ring? The Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. That's where he belongs, that walrus-like fool. He's also going to run for the presidency. You know, it reminds me of people talking to themselves, CPAC. They're all for amnesty. CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee, is now in favor of amnesty for illegal aliens. Can you believe this? So where is the conservatism in the Conservative Political Action Committee? Tell me where it is. Where is it? I don't know where it is. Find Waldo. So wherever you turn, whatever the institution is, it's broken and corrupted. Listen to what I just said to you. I want to repeat that because you may not understand it. Yes, we know that the government is broken. We know that the government on both sides of the aisle are filled with con men and con women. We know that most Americans would like to throw them all out and start again with plumbers and carpenters and busboys and waiters and taxi drivers running America. We would have a better chance of surviving than we do with these professional con men and con women. We know that. But now you turn to the think tanks. And here you have a think tank that presents itself as the pinnacle of conservative thinking. And they're in favor of amnesty. So who do you believe? Tell me who you believe. Well, for one, you have to start to believe in yourself. That's number one. Use your own judgment. And number two, watch out for organization men. And number three, try to trust individuals. Because individuals generally are outsiders who don't belong to any large group. And therefore, you're liable to get a more honest answer or opinion out of them than you will out of organization men who give each other awards. Now, I could ask you some questions. We did the Hillary thing yesterday. And to show you how biased the media is, to show you how twisted the conservative media is. Do you know that this is the only show in the United States of America, in fact the world, that bothered to find and actually played Hillary Clinton comparing Putin to Hitler? It did not appear on one website in the world except on MichaelSavage.com. Now, that was a news-making speech, by the way, and it was also a news-making radio show that I did yesterday, and the only people who know about it are people like yourselves who bother to listen to the Savage Nation. And if you missed it, we're going to play it again for you later, which is Hillary Clinton comparing Putin to Hitler at a time like this. It's astounding that she would make such a terrible comparison at a time like this, especially since it's a false comparison, incidentally. You may not like Putin. Putin may be a dictator. But he's been in power for 13 years, and while there's evidence of corruption killings, etc., there's very little difference between that government and ours in terms of corruption and people disappearing, incidentally. We have had incidents of journalists dying. We've had incidents of cars blowing up with journalists who were investigating generals. We've had an incident of a black lady who drove her car in the wrong direction near the White House screaming Obama's the father of her child, and she was executed by park police near the White House while her baby was in a car seat in the back. It was not covered by the losers in the media. Now, don't start lecturing me about how dangerous the Soviet Union was, because we all know how dangerous it was, and we also know how dangerous Putin is. We all understand that. But after 13 years in power and facing the invasion of Crimea by the European Union and America, what did Putin do? Did he fire off a missile? No, he sent his soldiers, who were already in the Crimea, out of their bases to take control of the peninsula where Russia has had its Black Sea fleet since Napoleon. And yet to the fools on the Wall Street Journal, this is called a blitzkrieg. A blitzkrieg. So the propaganda is very, very inflammatory right now. Okay, 855-400-7282. 855-400-7282. Moscow secures Crimea with air defense missile drill. Obama has a song fest with Aretha Franklin in the White House and welcomes everyone to the party. Do you think it was appropriate for Obama to have a party last night in the White House? Well, you can't answer that question. You can't answer it because there's no answer for it that's rational. How could you have a president at a time like this celebrating with a sort of party, like a jazz party in the White House? What is the man thinking? Well, let's put it another way in case you can't think anymore. Let's say you're Putin and you see this president of ours having a party in the White House last night while you're moving 1,000 missiles into the Crimea. What would you think? He's just moved 1,000 missile and tank units into the area, and Obama moved a bunch of Songfest listeners into the White House. You see, what's dangerous here is the weakness of our leader. You don't understand this. A weak leader is more dangerous than a strong leader. And a weak leader is capable of an hysterical action at any time. He's liable to lash out in the wrong way. He won't listen to his generals, I can guarantee you. Any general that's left who might suggest something, and I doubt that there are many left who would dare say one word to Obama. I think he got rid of all of the others. Even if there were a few generals who would advise him one way or the other, they would not speak out because they're afraid of him. And we know what happens when dictators get lost in their own hubris and won't listen to their generals. We know what could happen here. Don't say it's impossible. Never before in American history has America been so light with regard to military commanders who have any war experience, and so heavy with people who have never fired a BB gun but have wielded staple guns to put up community organizing flyers in one place. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company Michael Savage trusts to buy his gold and silver from.
I come from a tradition that is perhaps a little too suspicious of people who wear their faith on their sleeves.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
You can only go so long denying the evidence in front of your eyes.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself!
Calm down.
My little party just beginning.
She's the devil.
So Obama's moving 1,000 missiles and tank units into the area, and Obama's moved a band into the White House for a party last night. All right. What a great country we live in. Now, of course, if we had a legitimate government, he'd be impeached for his activities at this time of crises. There'd be an immediate vote of no confidence. He would be removed, and Biden would be made president. Say, okay, so Biden's no better. I don't know that he's no better. You don't know what Biden's capable of. I assume he's no better. But you never know. He could be acting goofier than he is in order to placate the boss, in order to fit in the climate of the White House right now. They're going to have to really repaint that joint when he leaves. If he ever leaves after another 3 years, I mean, they're going to have to get someone in there to redecorate the White House. Woo, are they going to have to clean that place up? Wow. All those parties. All that dope, all of the parties they're having there. You see the rappers they have in there? Very classy. Very classy operation. They really, you know, they really upgraded the entire status of the United States. You got to admit it. The crowds that come in there, really heavy duty. But at this time, at a party like right now, this is the time for it? An Aretha Franklin concert? It doesn't make sense to me. All right, Rome fiddle, Nero fiddle while Rome burn comes to mind. I get it. Obama diddled while the Ukraine burn. I mean, you know, make up anything you want. Obama diddled while, you know, fill in the blank. Churned. Because nothing's burning yet. I don't understand all the people calling and telling me I'm wrong. I'm not a real conservative because I don't want war. You mean conservatives are for war? Let me see if I follow this. A real conservative wants war? That's what a conservative is? Who wants war? Which of the conservatives is bloodthirsty right now? I don't know one conservative who wants war other than a few idiots on the radio who have never fired a Daisy BB gun, but they wear leather jackets and cross their arms and act like tough guys. Who wants war? I don't know who wants war. I don't understand what's happened to this country where even the conservatives are screaming for war. What is this? Something wrong with them mentally? Look, it's Friday. It's Rock and Roll Friday. I'll be right back. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Remember this music? Oh, you're too young. Sweating in the basements of Queens. Friday, they would be sweating already with the crew cuts. Look at all those back seats, my God, with plastic seat covers. In the wintertime in Alley Pond Park. It's 10 degrees outside. Nothing can stop a teenager in love, let me tell you that. Even 10-degree weather with plastic seats over the upholstery in the back of a Chrysler could not stop the ardor of a young teen. Let me tell you that. That's why they put him into the military. It's that young love and young lust, young war lust, but it should end at a certain point. Yeah, McCain had never died in him. Like Frankenstein, he hobbles around trying to start another war to relive his youth. Maybe he can set off another Zuni missile and sink another ship. 855-407-282. Here's some news. I don't know whether you consider it good or bad. We always say it's bad because Ted Turner hospitalized in South America. Blah, blah, blah. Admitted to a local hospital observation. They said it was appendicitis, blah, blah, blah. Now, Ted Turner has an 11,000-acre ranch in Argentina. Let me repeat that. That's a country. The 75-year-old founder of CNN has an 11,000-acre ranch in Argentina, and here's a man who promotes the idea that the 1% are evil. So he's in the 0001%, and he's good? How could you people buy into any of this? How could you people ever buy a word these people feed you? He owns 14 ranches in the United States, along with Jane Fondue. And three in Argentina, including an 11,000-acre ranch. I'm sorry. The 11,000-acre ranch is only one of the three that this man of the people owns. Can you believe we're living in a time like this? And that's the story. That's the story. Well, wish him luck. We hope he recovers rapidly so he can continue to pollute the world with his lies. Yes, Ted, we need more of your insanity. Please come back as soon as possible. Solar firm becomes China's first onshore default. I guess they're learning from us. A Chinese solar cell manufacturer defaulted on its bond interest payments today, making the Asian country's first onshore default and raising fears about explosive credit growth in the world's number two economy. Financial markets have been anticipating Shanghai Chaorai Solar Energy and Technology would be unable to sell assets fast enough to pay full interest on its bonds. Sounds like the solar companies in the backyard of, let's say, our wonderful female leaders here in the Bay Area, run by their friends. Well, let's not go into it. If you ever saw what kind of defaults have been going on here, you'd be frightened. You're already frightened. You know it's all corrupt. Yeah, you're talking about corruption in Russia. The solar business is a corrupt business. Look, we'd all like to run off solar energy. Let's start with that. I'm not a Neanderthal. I mean, I've always dreamed of having a little solar car. Ever since I've been a child, I thought that would be wonderful. It'd be nice to have a solar car. But there are no solar cars. Sure, keep experimenting. Give the money to a university to develop, keep developing the batteries, the solar batteries. Keep doing it, but don't tell us that you're ready to put them on the road. They blow up, for God's sakes. And until that time, I'll continue to drive my Ferrari. That's all. How would a Ferrari drive with a solar battery in it? They would probably like, they're going to outlaw any car that can go over a certain speed, anything that can take off. Why do you think American classic cars are so popular right now? Muscle cars. Why do you think Americans love them and are clinging to the past? There's a fortune being made right now with these cars. Because people want to hold on to America. They're sick and tired of the hippies dictating to them what they should drive, what they should eat, what they should drink, what they should think, you know, what they should take for medication. They're sick of it. They're tired of it. You've heard all of this before. That's why I'm telling it to you again. 855-407-282-W, ABC in NYC. Paul, welcome to the Savage Nation, Paul.
Hi. I just wanted to give you some praise, and at the same time give you a little bit of a dig. I think you do an amazing job of describing the situation in Ukraine and giving some insight that really no one else is giving. But as a lot of doctors, you give a good diagnosis. One thing I was asking for, your call screener, what about a prescription?
Okay. In other words, Dr. Savage, give us a prescription for Ukraine, not just a diagnosis of what's wrong.
Yeah. Decision.
So what would I do if I were in charge?
Well,
if I were the advisor to the president, what would I do?
Well, not necessarily. I'm actually talking more about your listeners. I mean, what they can do rather than
nothing. You can do nothing. The listeners are just cannon fodder on the world stage. You know, just party amongst yourselves. Buy jeans, buy refrigerators, buy hairdo spray. By testosterone, you know. Well, you can't do anything. Our vote has no meaning, so what's the difference what you think? They can rig any election they want. Take a look at New York City. They put the doofus in there. No one knows how he got 74% of the vote. Who counted the votes? How did Obama become president? Well, let's start with 3 million illegal aliens who were certified as certified citizens 2 months before the election. Let's start with the fact that the votes were counted by a European company in Spain. You don't know any of this. I don't want to bore you with it. Well, but you're asking me a good question, which is what would I recommend with regard to the Ukraine situation? The answer is doctor first, do no harm. Okay, let's start with the Hippocratic Oath. Doctor first, do no harm. Now, right now, Obama's doing harm and Hillary has done grave harm by demonizing Vladimir Putin. She didn't do the situation any good by calling him Hitler. Comparing him to Hitler. She didn't do the situation good. That was one of the greatest diplomatic faux pas of our time. The only reason you don't know about it is because it wasn't played very often, because you couldn't find it. We had it on the show yesterday. Play it again. Listen to
today, him. Putin basically said in a long press conference that, all I want to do is protect the rights of the minorities, namely Russian speakers, and he's been on a campaign to give everybody who has any Russian connection, there are a lot of retired Russian military in Crimea, he's given them all Russian passports. Now, this sounds familiar. It's what Hitler did back in the 30s.
Oh, my God. First of all, she's historically incorrect. That's number one. Secondly, you don't say a thing like this at a time when the world is a tinderbox, the area is a tinderbox that could go up at any second. This is a real faux pas. But this is the woman who gave us Benghazi. What difference does it make after all, she said, after the ambassador and others were killed? What difference? And to her, nothing. Cannon fodder. That's all. But it's an incorrect analogy, number one, to Hitler. For a number of reasons, and I could go into the history of the area because I'm somewhat familiar with it. She says that he basically invaded, that Hitler invaded Czechoslovakia. Well, yes, but remember that part of Czechoslovakia had been stolen from the German people, as I told you yesterday, by the League of Nations after World War I. They carved it right out of the German Empire. They tore apart Germany after World War I, and they confiscated a region of Germany that was given to Belgium. Alsace-Lorraine was given away to France. South Tyrol was severed from Austria and given to Italy. A new part of Czechoslovakia was given custody of 3.25 million Sudeten Germans. The German port of Danzig was handed over to the new Poland. So you say, well, okay, what are you trying to get at? Hitler was right. I didn't say Hitler was right, but let's get our history right. Okay, let's get our history right. They were German citizens in those areas. Very much along the lines of the fact that they are Russian citizens to a large extent in Crimea. So he wants to recapture lost Russian lands. He wants to recapture Russians lost to the West. In that sense, maybe there's a comparison, but you don't call him Hitler for doing that. They're implying there's a death camp around the corner. That, I mean, that's the, you say Hitler, you think death camps are the death of millions of people in death camps. You're not talking about seizing territory that was once Russian territory or seizing territory that was once German territory. You're talking about death camps. Everyone knows that. You say Hitler, it's synonymous with death camps, as it should be. So, it's a bad comparison. And it's not only inept, it's also dangerous. Why am I going on and on? Because she's not fit to be president. Can anyone name one thing Hillary has done that would justify or qualify her for the presidency, other than the fact that everyone's terrified of her? Everyone's terrified of her. Okay, now we'll go to the callers on the Savage Nation. You know, it's your show today. It's 43 minutes after the hour. I've only taken one call. How about the schoolboys, Neil? Please say you want me. Let's hear what that sounds like on this doo-wop Friday on the Savage Nation. Too slow. Break the record. Well, I'll keep playing it in a minute, but it's awful.
Please say you want me.
Turn it on. No, it's not for the show. Put an X through that one. Let's play the Cadillac Speedo. Oh, come on, you know. Try to lighten up the mood here a little bit. If you don't find that music, you hear that? That bass? That tenor sax? Where's that sax player who took all of my poetry and set it to music? That guy is great, the young guy. Maybe next week we'll play a little of that. There's no other talk show host in America whose monologues were turned into poems and then turned into music by a 26-year-old saxophone player from L.A. Because no one else makes music in radio. I make music in radio. We have it. We have it. We have. I'm very happy with that, that I can reach out to another generation. Now, the song I really want to play is the song of heartbreak for what Obama's doing to this country, but I can't play it because it doesn't exist yet. You know, it's like the heartbreak kid, what this man is doing to us. Every day it gets worse. There's no glory in anything the man does. Now, you could say that the competition between Putin and Obama is an ego war right now. And you could say it's the Cold War versus the Old War. I said that on Wednesday. Cold War versus the Old War, very clever, and there's a degree of truth in it. Or you want to put it another way, and this is ripe for anyone who wants to write an essay over the weekend and post it somewhere and act very clever like you created the title yourself. Take this one and steal it and run with it, as many of you do. I like it. I'm an idea factory. The ideas fly off me like sparks off a wheel that sharpens a knife. Here's an idea for you. It's interesting. Obama, we know, is a Leninist. Everyone says Marxist. All right, you want to argue over it. He's truly a Leninist. He sees himself in that light. I wrote about it in Trickle Down Tyranny. I spent a lot of time researching it and trying to prove my premise that he's a Leninist. So now you have a real communist in the form of Putin. You see, the man is really a communist. Now they're fighting with each other, right? So I'm going to ask you a question. You've got a new world communist versus an old world communist, which is a nice idea for an essay. Or you could say a new world Leninist versus an old world Leninist, if you'd like to put it that way. There's an essay for you to use and rip off and publish by tonight before the show is over. But this is very interesting to me. You got a new world Leninist, Obama, in competition with an old world Leninist like Putin, and take a look at how they're playing the game differently. One moves 1,000 missiles into the area that he insists he's going to protect and hold a referendum in, and the other one has a party with Aretha Franklin in the White House. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you that the new world Leninist, Obama, has been used to getting away with what he does because he only threatens people who can't fight back. In other words, he can only threaten the citizens of this nation and get even with them and hurt them, undermine them, threaten them, like the old KGB did with the IRS. That's Obama. But he's never really had to face down a foreign enemy, because that's not anything that a new world, a new age Leninist has ever had to do. They've only dealt with domestic enemies, never foreign. You get it? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Is 56 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Savage Nation, and I've made a crude analogy here, saying we have a new age Leninist, Obama, versus an old age Leninist. And I don't mean chronologically an old age Leninist. I mean an old style Leninist versus a new age Leninist. And take a guess who wins. Take a guess who wins. The former KGB chief. He's moving 1,000 missile batteries, and Obama's moving his feet to the next party. I know you don't want to hear it. You think it's disrespectful. Well, maybe it is. I mean, he disrespects the office. What do you want me to do, salute him? Meanwhile, here's what just went on an hour ago. Russian soldiers attack Ukrainian military base in Crimea. This is an hour old. The Russian military crashed a truck into the Ukrainian base at Sevastopol. At a Ukrainian military base 5 clicks from the Ukrainian city of Sevastopol. Members of a pro-Russian militia used the truck to break through the gate of the base. And the Ukrainian troops were told to stand down. Russian troops jumped out of the truck over the barrier, demanded the Ukrainians surrender. No reports of shots being fired. Let's get John McCain in there, see if he can stir up some hatred and anger.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
People are looking at Putin as one who wrestles bears and drills for oil. They look at our president as one who wears mom jeans.
Well, since it's Women's History Month, I got to salute Sarah Palin in this hour. Putin wrestles bears and Obama wears mom jeans. I don't know what mom jeans are. What are they? Neil, what are mom jeans? What are mom jeans? I don't really know what. Oh, God, that's naughty. That's naughty. Well, Putin moved 1,000 missile batteries into the region, and Obama had some hooting and whooping up in the White House last night, in the intimate venue of the state dining room. Yep, that's right, Women's History Month. Women's History Month, they had a little song fest there. Now, why would Women's History Month be about singers rather than about scientists or doctors or engineers? Wait, let me see if I can understand this. Women's History Month, they have a concert instead of awards to women in science and mathematics and engineering? How does that work? How? Take a look at who's in the White House. You get the answer to your question. The First Lady tried her own riff last night on that advice. It's not my word. I hate the word riff. I hate it. Anyone who uses the word riff, I will never talk to again. The first lady said, quote, find your own voice and be proud of it, and then sing your butt off, or work your butt off, or whatever you do, do it until your butt comes off. Now, I got to say, that's a really classy first lady. You know, really, I mean, you think about a first lady, you compare her to all the others in the past. I know you don't want to know it or say it because you'll say it's, you know, tinged with something that it isn't. Do you think it's appropriate to use the word butt three times in one sentence? Find your own voice and be proud of it. Then sing your butt off, work your butt off, or whatever you do, do it until your butt... Why is she butt-obsessed? Is it the French fries or what? It's the mom jeans. Oh. Yeah, all right. Let's not go there. Let's get away from that subject for a while. You know what I think of this kind of behavior at a time, especially at a time like this. What did it cost, $11 million for the concert last night? Huh? How much do you think it cost for Obama's Songfest last night? All right, you useful idiots out there, let's go to the Savage Nation callers. Maybe you can learn something. The phone number is 855-407-282. Got some very good sound out there. Should I play more sound instead before taking callers? I don't know what I want to do. The week is coming to a conclusion. Last weekend was rough. I was up for 72 hours on and off trying to write. I wrote that essay, Putin Crosses Obama's Pink Line. That was a very good essay, you got to admit. And then last night's meddling there in the White House. And I'm being attacked viciously by false conservative outlets who are jealous of my success. And they don't even realize that they're losing their own audience by doing it. They don't quite get it yet. Ron Paul has the exact same position I have with regard to Ukraine. So these false conservatives who are in favor of amnesty think that they're going to continue to hold an audience. Hey, anyone could get 2,000 people in a room. I always had 2,000 people filling auditoriums. I had it 15 years ago. I had it at one place after another, one venue after another. You ask anyone in the early days of KSFO, in the early compassionate conservative events, going back to when I started in radio, 1994, 5, 6, 7, try 'em and fry 'em. Remember that? Name 'em and shame 'em, those events? 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 people. And I was one man. But, you know, we had some very interesting people on the stage long before they became famous. We had, at one of our events at the Marin Civic Center here in California, we had Daryl Issa. You don't know that. I don't think he would remember the event. He probably wouldn't want to associate with me now because he's too big, very important man. But he was on stage. Gave me the creeps then. I wouldn't have him back. I mean, I just wouldn't have him back. I like what he's doing, but I wouldn't have him back. Let's put it that way. In fact, I don't want politicians on the show at all, when you think about it. You think it makes for a better radio show? You can see them anywhere. On Fox News, they're on every 5 minutes. What is the difference if you have a guest? What is a guest in radio? Unless they have something unusual or new, unique, rather, to say, right? Who would I have on the show if I could get him? Let's go down the list. Who would I have on this radio show if I could get the person? I certainly would like to ask Obama the questions that Bill O'Reilly didn't ask him. And I'd be very respectful. I would. He'd never come on the show, but I have 10 questions I'd like to ask the president that O'Reilly didn't ask him. I would ask them. They're straight up. There's no trick to them. They're published on michaelsavage.com. Who else would I like to have on the show? Hillary Clinton. I'd like to ask her about Benghazi. What did she know and when did she know it? Who else would I like to have on the show? I'd like to have Mitt Romney on, because I would ask him, did you throw the last of the three debates? You were so far ahead of Obama on the first. Did someone tell you to take a fall in the second and third? I'd ask him that. I had dinner with him in a North Beach restaurant a year before the election. He said to me exactly what you'd expect from a guy from out of town. How's the veal? And I said, it's the best in the city. I said, try the veal, it's the best in the city. No, seriously, he was so out of town. I love the guy. I mean, he was so honest. This guy's like an Eagle Scout. I would have voted for Romney, definitely over Obama. At least we knew where Romney was born. The thing is that when I had dinner with him, he was, I knew what he was going to do. I brought up immigration. He said, oh, that's a tough subject, because the minute you start talking against amnesty, they accuse you of being racist. I said, yes, but Mr. Romney, you have to do it, or you're never going to get elected. Didn't listen to me. His advisors were the same that advised McCain. They're all the same. They go to the same brainless individuals who rob them blind for tens of millions of dollars to advise them never go near a conservative. So I'd like to have Romney on and ask him what he would do differently. Would he answer the questions differently? He wouldn't come on the show. Other than that, I really wouldn't want any guests. I mean, I have them on. If I see an essay like I had over the last 2 weeks, people who were very brilliant in their analysis, I have them on the show. Naturally, they were attacked by the website that no one goes to. And they were attacked by false conservatives who have lost their audience for supporting amnesty. But those are two very good guests. Otherwise, I wouldn't burden you with a guest. You're listening to the show to hear me. That's what you're listening for at the end of the day. You want to hear my thinking, even if I bang into a wall once in a while. It's all part of the reason you listen. I think out loud. And so you say, how could this guy dare do this on a national show? He's bound to make a mistake any second. All right, they said that now for about 20 years, that's all. I have made some mistakes. But not everyone who makes a mistake is their career is over, unless you're Dan Rather. But the thing is, think about it. 20 years I've been doing this. When I started in radio, they said he'll never make it in radio because his voice is too New York. Well, how'd that work out for those who said no? I'm still here. It's 20 years this March. Oh, my God, it's March. Oh, my God, the time is amongst me, is on me. It's arrived. For a year, I worked in the dark of night. I crawled on glass. I crawled on hot coals to get to this daytime slot. Do you know that? I lived for January. I don't even realize I've crossed the January mark. I don't even realize it's March. Time has gone so fast, I don't even know how fast it has gone. I'm in the day part. I beat the old banger in the first month. It may go up and down. I doubt it. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. I mean, I'll do my same show no matter what happens. But the thing is, I've got my audience. It's growing. I'm happy with my show. I'm very content with what I've done. And the thing is this, I can't believe it's been 20 years this March 21st for my first radio show. And I did promise you that I would do a big event. I haven't done it. I haven't planned it. I haven't had a minute. So now we're thinking about tying it around another big date in the year 2014, because you could say 20th anniversary doesn't have to be on exactly that day, right? You know, I could do it around July 4th in a stadium. But I don't know that I ever want to be seen in public again. You know that? And there are guys who love it. They revel in the spotlight. I'm not one of those people. I basically am very withdrawn. I'm content to be reclusive and unknown. I know it's very unusual. Everyone else wants the acclaim and the Klieg lights. At this stage, I don't ever want to do a live performance again, but I may. I don't know. I just don't know. I know at the end of his career, you look at a guy like the great actor, Marlon Brando, right? Remember Marlon Brando? You know who he is. Everyone knows who he is. He was an icon. But in the last years of Marlon Brando's life, when he put on all that weight, he didn't hang out with famous people and go on shows. He would go to dinner with his housekeeper. All he cared about was like a good meatloaf, I suppose, or a strudel. I don't know, whatever he ate. The greatest interview Marlon Brando ever did was toward the end of his life. I'll never forget it. It was on Larry King Live. He took his shoes off and was cleaning his toes. Now, that's power. You want to know what power is? It's not having to wear a suit and tie on a major TV show and cleaning your toes with your shoes off on air and not caring. I think he was throwing the lint at Larry King. Larry wouldn't have known anyway. And Larry King wouldn't have known. I mean, with the garlic breath that he had from all of the years of eating those garlic pills, he wouldn't have known what it was there anyway. He would have thought it was the garlic pills themselves. Where is Larry? He wants a comeback now. He had a very good interviewing technique, Larry King, by the way. I remember being on that show when he was a radio host. He was very good. He taught me things. I got to tell you that. He was an old-timer. And I'm talking, what, early 80s when I was doing book tours on my early health books? Oh, those were some days. I never got into that with you. All of my health books that all of the old agers here in talk radio mock. All the people who eat McDonald's as their daily fare. They think it's an embarrassment that I was in the health business in the 1970s and 80s and 90s. Yeah, it was a real embarrassment. I was 30 years ahead of my time, fool. Anyway, I would do tours with my health books, and I went to the Larry King show. I'll come back to the news in a minute. And he was in Washington, D.C., probably, I guess, MAL. I don't know what studio he was in. It was a huge ABC studio. And it was at night. I remember flying in the book tours, lonely, horrible. It's like Willie Loman, those book tours. I despised going on the road. I hated it. In fact, all of my new book contracts, I say I will not tour. They all have to be done out of a local studio. I will not tour. Can't stand it. Don't like green rooms. Can't stand hotels. You know, some people think it's great. Oh, you get a free ticket. Wow, that's exciting. And you get to thrash and your hair falls out in the middle of the night in the hotel room. You're so frustrated and lonely. That's terrific. But look, you get a free meal. All the schnurrers of radio love the free meal. It's like O'Reilly with the free suit. Suit by Hart, Shafter, and Marks. How could that guy need a free suit? I don't understand it. He is tall. He's 6'6". I get it. And maybe the suits are extra expensive for tall guys, but how much more could a suit be for O'Reilly? He's such a schnurrer that he has to put on his TV show suits, courtesy, suits for Mr. O'Reilly by Hart, Shafter, and Marks. Man, I thought that my relatives were cheap years ago in the Bronx. Wow. That beats dead man's pants. So on Larry King's show, in the studio late at night from the hotel, go in, and he'd look at the book. It was a health book. He had not read it. He had one, and very interesting interview technique. He wouldn't read your book before you got there. He'd open it up as you got there. He was very cordial, very nice man, by the way. Luckily, I wore a gauze mask when I walked into the studio. I took it off only for the radio show. But nevertheless, the permeating odor was that of a delicatessen in there with the belching and noise. Oh, it was horrible. It went on in there. Oh, God, the stomachs and the growling. And he would look at the book and he'd ask a question like he was a man in the street who was flipping through the book for the first time. And they were very poignant questions as a result. It's an extremely good interview technique for a popular radio show. How'd that work out for him? I guess he should have done some of his homework. He might still be in radio. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company Michael Savage trusts to buy his gold and silver from.
The Savage Nation with Rock and Roll Friday. Little Eddie My Love by the Who's. I don't know who they are. Anyway, here we are. Now, I was reminiscing on the Larry King interview. The next Larry King interview I did, I had to put cigarette filters in my nostrils when I went into the studio. No, because he had escalated the amount of garlic he was taking, whatever. Man, it's like my uncle who ate salami all the time in there. But you have to put up with a lot of things on a road tour. You know, that's the thing. The host... You can't insult the host before an interview. A, he would give you a, throw you out of there, number one, and you never get invited back. So if it's garlic breath or, let's say, a little gas, you know, from the seltzer, the pickles, you have to live with it. So then I came prepared the next time. I, you know, L&M filters, they worked fine till just before the mic went on. Mom who drove kids into ocean faces charges. Ho-hum. A pregnant South Carolina woman who drove a minivan carrying her kids. They have children today like a dog has children. I love a guy who says he's a dad. Never live with the wife for one second, he's a dad. A pregnant South Carolina woman who drove a minivan carrying her kids in Sarasota, Florida, was charged Friday with attempted murder and child abuse. The children were screaming to bystanders that she was trying to kill them. Well, I would think so. Helped rescue Ebony Wilkerson and her children ages 3, 9, and 10 from their minivan. Where's the father? I'm going to search down in the article. Where's Wilkerson's father? Oh, I'm sorry. It's an American family of today. See, to the White House, that's a typical American family. There is no father. Family members told investigators that Wilkerson was in an abusive relationship and that she came to Florida to get away from her husband. Let me see if I understand that. She was in an abusive relationship, so to get away from her husband, she tried to kill her children? I wonder why she was in an abusive relationship. Maybe he abused her because she was trying to kill the children before she drove into the ocean? Another victim now. Unbelievable to me. Now the money will be spent on giving her therapy. And get some guys with crazy eyes with eyeglasses 2 inches thick from Tallahassee University. They'll come in and investigate her mental state. And they'll find out because she's not part of the 1% that she tried to kill her children. And if there was income equality, this never would have happened. It was all because of a racist society that she drove her children into the ocean. That'll be the conclusion. They can save the study. I can give them the answers already. All right, here we are. What else is in the news? Nah, it's a big weekend coming. It's supposed to rain here in the Bay Area. I hope it rains sooner rather than later. Now they're kvetching about the rain. Can you imagine that? First they were screaming that it's drought, the sky is falling. Then we had rain. They stopped talking about every three words about the drought. And now that it's, it's too much rain. We got to get rid of that rotten rain. It's because of global warming that's raining so much. Even Warren Buffett had enough of it. You know, even he said that there's no proof. But go tell that to the Corleone family. The Corleone family. Where is he now that we don't need him? Where does he go during periods of wet weather and snow and ice? Where does he hide? In Patagonia with Ted Turner? Where is Al Gore? During these periods of high rain, where does he go?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So, 1,000 missile batteries are being sent into the area. Russian soldiers crashed through the Ukrainian military base. No one was shot, thank God. But I'm sure that McCain has not yet been awakened from his slumber, from his many appearances on television shows in order to see if he can get a hot war going. Or perhaps Lindsey Graham could get one going. After all, they're hot for a war, obviously. You know, things haven't been quite as good since we started to pull out of Afghanistan. They need something else to work for. You're asking me what I think. It's a terrible situation. Obviously, the Ukrainians want independence from, to them, an oppressive colonist, Russia. I get it. They want an independent nation. They want their freedom. They want to do what they want to do. They have a right to that, self-determination, but it's not our battle. So, in other words, there's a price to be paid for fighting a larger power. And as you know, larger powers tend not to give up so readily. It would be a disastrous mistake for Ukraine to have a civil war, which is what would it take. It would take that first for Ukraine to go to war against Russia, and they can't win in either case. It's a disaster for the people in Ukraine to push for war, and to demand that we go into this war is even worse. There is absolutely no stomach. If you did a poll in America, and the poll had one question, should American troops be sent to Ukraine? The answer is 99% no. 99% of the people would say absolutely not. No. No. The American people are just finished with war. Let's put aside why. Let's put aside the leadership. They would say no. So what in the world is it that you want? Why is it that the neocons all of a sudden want war? Why is it that all of the so-called fake conservatives are in favor of the war, beating the war drums, and anyone like me who's against it? I've called myself an anti-war conservative for quite a while now, not just with the Ukraine situation. Don't you think this country's had enough of this? Foreign entanglements?
And the founding fathers wouldn't have put up with it. George Washington wouldn't have done it. Put on their hat and the musket. Buy my book. I'm smart. I can handle things.
Hi, send Fredo off to do this. Send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb. I'm smart. And I want respect.
I'm sorry. My board op producer, Neil, has been with me so long he could read my mind. He knew I wanted that. I didn't even have to say play the Fredo clip. Neil, thank you very much. We've had a staff change this week. Had a Schmendrick walk off the set. He didn't belong. I got dug up there in Oregon. I mean, you know, life goes on. Life moves on. That's all. What else is in the news? I don't know what kind of mood I'm in. I don't know if I want to do war. I have a great call. Should I take a call? All right, let's take a couple of callers now. WHJC in Tallahassee. Chris, you've got the attention of the world on the Savage Nation.
How are you?
All right, what's on your mind, Chris? Well, go ahead already. You're on the radio. You've been waiting. Go ahead, say it. All right. I don't know. His phone must have died out. It must have been an American-made phone. Maybe it was made in Yugoslavia. I don't know. It's like the Yugo of phones this guy had. Does Yugoslavia still make phones? They try to make a car. Remember the Yugo was a laughing stock? Okay, let's go to the next caller. Let's go to the next caller. Haven't heard from ABC today. Okay, let's go to Marsha, a woman. Let's have one woman on, all right? I know that of my millions of listeners, there's 22 women, Savagettes, who listen. She'll now be number 23. Marsha, you're the 23rd woman in America who listens to the show. What's on your mind, Marsha?
Hey.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I think there's many more than 23 of us. Native Texan. I'm 61 years old, and I'm tired of all of these old war monsters, as I call them. I grew up in Texas during the Vietnam War. I was a teenager. I saw a lot of my friends, their older siblings, dying, coming back. In fact, 9 from my high school never really were the same, and they died. I'm tired of the monsters in the White House. I'm tired of the unnecessary rhetoric. There's a poem that stuck with me from my high school years by A.E. Houseman.
Oh, my favorite poem, "To an Athlete Dying Young." I used to read him all the time. Go ahead. I didn't know anyone even knew A.E. Houseman. I could quote A.E. Houseman if you asked me to. I remember "To an Athlete Dying Young." I read that in college. I was very touched by it. I love his poetry. So which poem are you referring to?
"To an Athlete Dying Young."
Oh, my God. This is something. And so what part of that poem applies to the war fever of today?
I think what applies to it is the fact that they talk about carrying the athletes when they're young, through the crowd, on the shoulders, with the flowers being thrown when they're young. And then when they come back, they're basically burying them, dying so young they're coming through the streets in caskets. Basically, that's dying too young. It was written in 1855. But
yes,
it applies to youth being lost for, yes. I mean, it's so sad, and that's the way I see us.
Yeah, I remember being touched by it when I was a very young man. I identified with that poem tremendously. You know, A.E. Houseman was a very dark spirit. You know that?
Yes.
Did you know he was a very unhappy man? He was a dark spirit. He was gloomy. He wore all black on his birthday, and people said, "Why do you wear all black?" He said, "To celebrate the fact that I shouldn't have been born." I mean, he really had a heavy-duty view of the world that's probably very, in some ways, in tune with the great swath of the youth of today, by the way. He was a very, very depressed guy for his time, born in 1859, no less. "The time you won your town the race, we cheered you through the marketplace. Men and boys stood cheering by, and home we brought you shoulder high. Today, the road all runners come, shoulder high we bring you home and set you at your threshold down. Townsmen of a still a town, smart lad to slip be times away from fields where glory does not stay. And early though the laurel grows, it withers quicker than the rose. Eyes the shady night has shut, cannot see the record cut, and silence sounds no worse than cheers after earth has stopped the ears. Now you will not swell the rout of lads that wore their honors out. Runners whom renown outran, and the name died before the man. So set before its echoes fade the fleet foot on the sill of shade, and hold to the low lintel up the still-defended challenge cup, and round that early laureled head will flock to gaze the strengthless dead, and find unwithered on its curls the garland briefer than a girl's." I love that poem, Marcia. Thank you so much for reminding me of A.E. Houseman. Thank you very much. And the thing that she's saying is, it touches her to this day because she doesn't want to see any of our men coming home in caskets anymore. We've had enough of it. And if you took a poll in America today, should we intervene in Ukraine? 99%. Well, it can never be 99 in this country anymore. The people are so dumb. It'd probably be 85 against. 15% would be for it. They wouldn't even know where the Ukraine is. They have no idea what it is, but they'd be in favor of it because Obama's for it. But whatever he's for, and what Aretha Franklin is for, they'd be for. Now, is there any caller out there who has anything to say that is unique, gentlemen, who are doing the screening or whatnot? Anything different that we haven't heard that could advance the conversation? Let's go to Larry on WMAL in Washington, D.C. America's listening. Larry, America's listening, so go ahead and speak your mind, Larry. Go ahead, please. I disconnected him by hitting it twice.
Thank you. You energate me, and I really appreciate you taking my call. I'm a 55-year-old guy, former Marine Corps officer, and my grandfather, an Irishman off the boat, served in World War I. My dad, God bless him, a World War II and Korean War vet, passed away in November. And what you said in the beginning of your program about these so-called conservatives who are so ready to go to war, my family has been people who have served this country for generations.
Where do you stand, Larry? Do you think America should intervene in the Ukraine situation?
No, I do not. I do not.
No, neither do I. But I know what you're calling about. But you said it's kind of disturbing to you of the so-called radio conservatives who want to send troops to war. Who are they? Which ones of them are actually... Which ones are calling for war?
They're so ready to send their sons to go...
No, they don't have any sons. Most of them have no children. But which ones are calling for war? I mean, name them. Do you know which ones are screaming for war?
Well, yeah, they're people who have never actually fought a war.
Well, but who are they? Name them. I'd like to know who they are. Who amongst the fake conservatives are calling for war? I want to know their names. Who are they? Who are they? Who in the conservative radio world is calling for war?
Well, I tell you, and this is why I told you,
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you. That's all. Let's move on. Look, I got a lot of stations here. Are any of them calling for war? You know, at the end of the day, look, the show is going to be over. It's going to be a long weekend. Things are going to escalate. I researched the the S-300 missiles that they're putting in there. Man, would you send your son and say, oh, yeah, go fight for the Ukraine now? It has a range of 100,000 feet. The missile is the size of a telephone pole. So far as I know, the operating ceiling of our F-15s is not 100,000 feet. So what, they're going to die for your belief that Obama needs to fight to show he's tough in order to get Hillary elected so she can come out and again act like she's more macho than any man? Well, that's what's going on. This is a very dangerous time, and you're seeing the worst come out of people, not the best. But I will tell you again that in terms of the media, people's reputations are being made and being broken, or let's say being made and being lost during this period, because you're finding out on your own who you want to believe in after this. That's what I think. You know where I stand. I'm not mincing words. I told you where I stand. But I want to know which of the conservatives in radio and television in particular are calling for war. Does anyone have that answer? Search for the callers on that, because I know some of them are. All of a sudden, they're in favor of war. I'm more concerned with the heartburn I got last night from the sauce I made. I'm trying to think about what I did wrong. Remember, there's a saying. Who said that? Lady Astor said, you can never be too rich or too thin, or living well is the best revenge. Whatever. How did that go? Living well is the best revenge. I'm not into that. That means like indulging in chocolate and bad Chardonnay and thinking that you're living well. Or you can never be too thin or too rich. Who said being too thin is good? Why is that a cultural norm, a thin being skinny? I mean, either you like it or you don't. What if you like fat? What if you like hefty? But last night I was trying to heal myself. I'm suffering through some ailment here. I'm trying to like knock it out every way I can, vitamins. So I made a very spicy meat sauce, and I overdid the paprika. I think what it is, it's the sweet Spanish paprika I use. That's the problem. It's a very acidic, I'm never going to talk to a Hungarian again after this. They're into the paprika. I'm joking. Come on. No, I would never use paprika in a tomato sauce. I did it because I figured, you know, it's very dense, intense with antibacterial properties. I know what it contains, and vitamin C. Who needed it? Would have been better off with a plain rigatoni and meat sauce in, like, Angelo and Al's spaghetti ria. I miss really good Italian food. I really do. Once you grew up in New York, there was a certain flavor to it. It was terrible. Killed the men in the 50-52 top from the cheese and the meat and the veal. That's not typical Italian food. Traditional Italian, you're eating Italian wedding food. That typical stuff you eat in an Italian restaurant. I did a book on this called The Way of the Skeptical Nutritionist in 1978, where I studied ethnic diets. So when you say, I eat a traditional Italian diet, they didn't eat spumoni and veal parmesan in Italy. They ate a grain and some vegetables. They rarely ate heavy protein. They ate some cheese. When they killed a cow that made the milk, they didn't do that. They didn't go hunting for boar every minute. So if you're eating all these heavy foods, it's not a typical Italian or Jewish. A lot of people say, I eat a Jewish diet. I know a kid who once had 600 cholesterol in New York. His eyes were like, had cholesterol fat hanging underneath his lids. It's like a deli boy. I didn't understand the father would let him eat like that. The kid was so fat, and he lived on like corned beef, you know, bad food. So I said, why do you eat that garbage? Oh, it's a Jewish diet. I said, hey, moron, that's not a Jewish diet. That's Polish holiday food. A Jewish diet is like Yemeni food. It's like pita bread and hummus with lentils. I mean, what are you talking about? It's not Jewish food. That's an adaptation. So another thing is very... I could go into this whole thing about ethnicity and clothing even, now that I think about it. There are sects of Orthodox Jews who wear like Oriental outfits. I didn't know where they came from. I couldn't understand it. Trying to understand what that outfit, like the Hasidim in Brooklyn, for example, they wear black outfits. I like very nice people, very religious, but they wear like black suits in the summer and a black hat. Why? It's not a Jewish outfit. It's like a 19th century Polish businessman's outfit. So it reminds me of like the Peruvians who wear like a top hat. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. Wake up and fly right. Turn it off. We have very little broadcast time left in this hour. No, before the break, I was thinking about why do people get stuck with diets which are unhealthy but they think to be traditional? Like I eat a traditional Italian diet or Jewish when they're not traditional at all. Well, how about clothing styles which are 100 or more years out of sync with the times, like burkas? What are they stuck in these costumes for? And it's because it's their cultural identity. They identify, they don't have to think. It's like robotic. So you eat a corned beef sandwich or knish. Clog your arteries and think that you're doing something religious. Or you walk around in a 14th century, you know, body armor, which turns you into basically little more than chattel, that your husband treats you like an animal. An animal's treated better than a woman in a burqa, in my opinion. No? You disagree with me? That's also part of America's multiculturalism? Whatever. Be here or be nowhere. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
We don't keep our opinions to ourselves, and neither should you. On the only conservative station in the Bay Area, Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
America always wants their hand in things. They have an empire to build and defend. And I think it's a mess. I don't think we should have an interest. If we did, it should be that we should encourage the Ukrainians to solve their problems. And once they have a government, we should be open to working with them and talking with them.
That's Ron Paul saying exactly what I've been saying. We shouldn't meddle in Ukraine. Welcome to the Savage Nation. And yet you have people calling themselves conservatives who are in favor of meddling in the Ukraine and having your son die for God knows what. And it makes no sense to me. Now, I'm looking at an article from the Washington Times by Rowan Scarborough, who's a military affairs writer, where he says, Putin has transformed Russian army into a lean, mean fighting machine, military well prepared for Ukraine. And he's developed the world's third largest defense budget at $70 billion. The underpaid army of post-Cold War Russian conscripts has given way to special ops troops and experienced guns for hire. And that's why they're so quick to act. And many of us don't even understand what's going on, especially our president and our defense secretary. He writes, in all, Mr. Putin has built a military that can unleash a force to reclaim territory lost in the Soviet Empire's demise. And what have we done? While the Russian bear has been rattling Europe, the Obama administration is pulling combat troops out of Europe, closing bases around the world, and cutting back on weapon systems, and obsessing on gays and women in the military. They say that's what he's concerned about. Not whether we can fight a war and win it, but whether or not there is social engineering possible in the military. Here's what someone wrote. Meanwhile, America squabbles over women in combat roles and gays in the military. Fact is, the Russians don't allow social engineers to hamper its ability to plan and execute. Another person wrote, Russia needs to elect Obama so he can turn the country into dummies like he has here. Another one wrote, you're wrong. Putin has only to have a fool like President Obama in office, along with the naive and ill-informed members of the Democrat Communist Party that we already have. The Democrats have done a wonderful job with MSN propaganda, etc. We know that. Let's see what else. Here, one last comment. Putin fights Islamists, and Obama has invited them to the U.S., paid by the United States taxpayer. Our leaders sell this country to lobbyists, as in amnesty and flooding this country with more foreign workers, while Putin fights for the betterment of his country. I'm telling you what people are writing. Putin taking Crimea makes a lot more sense than the wars we fought that has never been benefited our country. We throw away hundreds of billions for nothing. Like or hate Putin, they write, he worked for the interests of his country, and that I admire. Our politicians don't even see America as a nation anymore. It's become just a business for them. That's why they support the invasion of America with third world immigrants. To them, it's about business and money, not a country anymore. Another one. I can read more and more. Would you like me to read more? May I read you a little bit more? Well, I can read you a little bit more. It's a new age Leninist called Obama versus an old age Leninist called Putin. Take a guess who wins. Huh? Take a guess who wins. Gay and lesbian troops perform and drag on an American military base, someone wrote. Troops based at the Kadena Air Base in Japan know how to party. On Saturday, six gay and straight service members applied some of their finest makeup and lip sync to I Want to Dance with Somebody in what is believed to be the first drag queen and king show on an American military base. The show was thrown in support for the base's recently formed OutServe SLDN chapter. Navy Lieutenant Marissa Green told Stars and Stripes she only expected to sell 75 tickets for the gay variety show, but ended up selling more than 410 days. The event went through the same approval process as other on-base fundraisers go through, with the only caveat being that it was not allowed to be labeled a drag show in its publicity materials. So there's Obama making good on his promise to transform America. He's going on vacation, by the way. Him and the first family are leaving tomorrow on another vacation. They had a party last night while Putin was moving 1,000 missile batteries into the area. He had Aretha Franklin and some of the singers there. At the White House. So, and this is an awful situation. Just awful. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Spring break, another vacation. Spring break, he's on vacation again. What a laughable situation. Can't someone stop this from going on? How is this possible? The whole family is going to flee Washington, D.C. for another vacation in Key Largo, Florida. This is after a war is brewing. This is what he's doing. Thursday night a party, and then Friday take off early from work. Take off early for work on the government, on the taxpayer dime. White House spokesmouth Josh Earnest said last night, it is possible the president may return to the White House on Friday as events unfold in Ukraine. Oh, he may return. Uh-huh. Let's see. The excuse for this urgently needed break from the hurly-burly of the White House is that both Obamas are scheduled to speak about the value of education at Coral Reef High School in Miami. Isn't that important? That's amazing. You see, nasty world events be damned. He needs a spring break, and he's going to have it. Remember, the first couple racked up an $11 million tab on travel to South Africa to attend Nelson Mandela's funeral. The first family spent the sixth annual retreat on the Wailan of Oahu at a cost of $4 million. Michelle spent an extra week there to celebrate her 50th birthday. In June, Michelle felt compelled to go to Ireland for 2 days. She stayed at a $3,300 a night hotel in Dublin. Total cost of her trip was $5 million. Obama also took an August trip to California to meet with Democratic mega fundraiser Jeffrey Katzenberg and appear on The Tonight Show. That jaunt cost Americans $2 million. It should give you a good feeling that the American presidency is such that he gets the rest he needs. You know, he's not part of the 1%. He's not part of the 1%. You are. If you earn a living and own a business that you built on your own, you're part of the 1% to the New Age Leninist. And if you're in the military and you have misgivings about the way he's destroying the military, you're probably an enemy on the NSA spy list. And so you should listen to the conservative talk show hosts who want you to go to war and die for your... For what do they want you to go there for? I don't get this. I'll take your calls in a minute. 855-407-282. Let's go to WABC. Stephen, you've been holding fire while you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. I think you're underestimating the possible effects of a war in the Ukraine. And let me explain. Back, we were fighting in Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan, and they had no way to strike us. In World War II, Hitler had no long-range bombers, and his V-2s could only reach London. We're tangling with a big boy here, Russia. If we go to war, they can reach out and touch us here in the homeland.
Right. And I think Putin signaled that 2 days ago by launching a dummy ICBM.
Exactly.
Obama was planning an Aretha Franklin party, and Putin was giving his troops the go-ahead to fire a dummy ICBM. For those of you out there who don't know what that is, let's say you were born after a certain age, that's the intercontinental ballistic missile. It's not a pass to a certain suite in a hotel.
Yeah.
So you fear that Putin, we could wake up to, God forbid, a strike on our homeland because of this incompetent moron in the White House?
Well, a war grows.
That's right, and it's growing every day. Hillary called him Hitler. That grew the war. Kerry gives speeches that are absolutely meaningless. That grows the war. Obama has parties in the White House for Aretha Franklin to celebrate the month of the woman. That grows wars when you see weakness and imbecility like this.
Right, and 1940.
This is imbecilic behavior. If you were Putin and you knew that Obama was going away on a spring break today, what would you think? I mean, you would laugh at the man. You would laugh at this guy. But let me tell you something, Stephen. He is not to be laughed at. Here's the thing I want to warn my listeners. A weak, indecisive leader is more dangerous than a strong, decisive leader, especially in a time of crisis. And a weak, indecisive leader can strike out in the most unexpected manner, especially a weak, dictatorial, indecisive leader like Obama, who has fundamentally decapitated the military of anyone who might have stood up to him. I doubt very much that there's a single general who could say a word to him about what should or should not be done. I would bet that the military is now filled with yes women.
Agreed.
That's what worries me. When you have a leader who has no military experience of his own, who thinks he knows what to do, look out. That's when the missiles could start flying without any provocation or any warning. You know that. That's what I'm worried about, Stephen. That's what I'm afraid of. You see, you're afraid that Putin will launch on us. I'm afraid that this loose cannon could launch on them without warning. That's how dangerous the situation is. One of the hysterical girls from Columbia University could say, you know what, launch on him, let's show him. This is how I did it in the courtroom. I know how to handle them. I grew up in New York. Believe me, I take no prisoners. We know how to handle tough guys like him. Send one into his territory. Go ahead, see if I care. I got a nail appointment. Don't think this couldn't happen when you have the lunatics running this country today. You know who they are, don't you? All the girls. You think they're not running the military? Who do you think put those SEALs on a helicopter? You think it was a general? I don't. I think it was one of these craven women, one of the four horsewomen of the apocalypse, who killed our SEALs. How do you like that? And they're going to make the decision. They're liable to make the decision to, you know what, we'll teach him a lesson. He thinks he's a tough guy. Let's launch one on him. We got subs there, right? Call up John, the general. That guy looks like the usher, the good-looking one. We have some subs in the area, right? They can fire one of them things up there. Like, all right, send a tomahawk or two over there. We don't want any nukes right now. Just fire a few tomahawks at him. And then we'll go and deal with the LBGT parade, okay? You think this couldn't happen? It can't happen here? It is happening here, you dummy. You did it to us. You did it to us. You put these people in power. Let's take another caller or two. You thought I'd get lighter in the third hour. I got heavier in the third hour. Let's go to WBBO. Matthew, welcome to the Savage Nation on Line 6. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. It's a pleasure getting to talk to you, and I remember listening to you prior to the military and then when I was deployed and listening to you now.
Give us your opinion today.
Well, on the current situation in Ukraine?
Well, that's what you're calling about. What is it?
Oh, I was calling because I was comparing the president to Napoleon III and his reckless foreign policy as far as...
Oh, I'd love to hear it. You sound like a military historian. Tell us what you see.
I see, just like Napoleon III starting events and then trying to control them, I see Obama trying to get involved in things and not knowing what the outcome can be. You can start something. You can start a wheel turning, but you don't know where it's going to go. And I've seen that happen with Syria. We've seen that happen before with Libya, and now we're seeing it happen in Ukraine. And at the end of the day, just like Napoleon III, he ended up with having more problems than he had solutions. And he ended
up... also like Napoleon III, who, by the way, was the nephew of Napoleon I, during the first years of his empire, Napoleon III was an hysterical dictator who imposed censorship and harsh repressive measures against his political opponents. You know that, don't you?
That's correct.
Because he was a weak leader who couldn't take criticism. There is a direct comparison here. In fact, he exiled many people, and Victor Hugo went into voluntary exile abroad. This man was a dictator, Napoleon III, because of his weakness, not because of his strength.
He also claimed to be all things to all men, got elected, and then established the Second Empire through referendum.
Okay, stay on the line because I want to ask you what you think Obama the hysteric is liable to do. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company Michael Savage trusts to buy his gold and silver from.
It is the Savage Nation. Look, these are very serious times. I mean, I lighten it up with a little goofiness here and there because there's only so much you can take and I can take. But the fact of the matter is, we are in an extremely dangerous time right now with an out-of-control administration that has gutted the military while threatening Russia. I don't know what verb would describe Obama right now, going on another vacation at a time like this after an Aretha Franklin concert. Did you hear this? Listen to clip two. This is your president in a time of war. Putin is moving 1,000 missile batteries in, and he's partying with a bunch of women. Listen.
When Aretha first told us what RSPECT meant to her.
Okay, it's enough already. It's enough. The man is not qualified at any speed. Isn't that simple? Does anyone in this country understand the danger he's putting us all in? Russia tested an ICBM Wednesday, intercontinental ballistic missile. I don't think they'll fire one. Well, why shouldn't they? Well, who's going to stop them? Kerry? Kerry warns Lavrov of U.S. sanctions against Russia. So Putin says, you know what? Watch your mouth. Lavrov tells him, because we'll give you sanctions. You'll get hurt more than we will. See, this is an interconnected world. It's not the ex-Soviet Union without a stock market and a currency. They have a stock market and a currency. It's all interconnected. And so who are you threatening when you threaten Russia with sanctions? You're really threatening Germany and all of their trading partners. And you think that Merkel wants sanctions against Russia? I don't think so. So, you see, it's not the old game anymore, but Kerry is outclassed here. He doesn't even know what to do. So he's using an old playbook, and Obama's using no playbook. And Putin is using a playbook he knows very well. And as I say, watch out, because this is not in our sphere of influence. It's in their sphere of influence, and I don't believe in any foreign entanglements anymore. Neither does Ron Paul, incidentally. What's ironic to me is that these fake websites like CNS News, had the nerve to put a hit piece out on me by some unknown woman. I never heard of her. The Democrats could have done a better job than she did, attacking me because of my explanation of the Ukraine. They're calling me I'm not a conservative because I don't want war. So a real conservative wants to go to war? Well, let Rush Limbaugh put on a uniform along with John McCain. Let Hannity and the other hacks go fight for America. Who are they kidding? From the safety of their studios, they want a shooting war. A real conservative would show that Putin. You morons, you. Send your own sons in there, Sean. It's the Savage Nation. These are dangerous times. and I'm afraid this administration is not equipped for them. Be here or be nowhere. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Vanity, 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 all is vanity. You know, I say all is self-interest. But all you good liberals who despise the Bible should really check out the Bible that your grandfather read, because you're only probably a stone's throw away from a religious person in your family. And although you shaved off your beard and you took up all of the modern ways and think that you're a modern person and you see things in a global fashion, a one-world fashion, where there's no longer the idea of a nation, you ought to read your Isaiah, because it says, they shall beat their swords into plowshares. Now, you've lectured us on this for decades. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and yet here you are cheering on Adolf Obama as he escalates tensions in Ukraine, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Really? And yet he sent F-15s over to Poland, or Lithuania, wherever they are. Young boys are going to probably have to go into aerial combat against Russians. I'm sure you'll cheer it on as we shoot down the Russian planes. Obama's ratings will soar. I mean, war is very good for when a president's approval ratings are in the toilet, which is where they should be in this case, this one sure way to boost your ratings, go to war. What difference does it make if people die and nations are blown up? What difference does it make? It's good for the Democrat Party, which means it's good for her. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. But the earth abideth forever. The sun also riseth. Hemingway actually took this and changed it from the sun also ariseth into the sun also rises. You know how many great titles of novels were taken from the Bible? Mine, for example, A Time for War. When I was searching for a title for my last novel, I searched the Bible for A Time for War. You know, it's an interesting world we're living in. Get ready for the riot that's coming. Get ready for the riot. Wait until you see all the peaceniks, all of the left-wing peaceniks supporting war. Wait, you'll see all of them. All the water carriers of this illegitimate government. All of the water carriers for this illegitimate criminal enterprise will start screaming how war is justified against Russia. Wait, you'll see. Wait, you'll see. And speaking of self-interest and vanity, this war, the war drums being beaten by Kerry, Obama, and Hillary are very dangerous because they're escalating the war. We just sent F-15s to NATO. What was that, an act of peace? Russia just sank a ship into the entry to the Black Sea. Did you know? Oh, you didn't know that? You're interested in which goon was talking about which score, which person with tattoos on their soul was talking about which sportsman did what? Well, I don't have any tattoos on my soul. I'm unmarked. I have no ink on my brain. And let me tell you something. These morons who are running our country are risking the Third World War. They're doing everything they could do wrong. And the worst of them, is Kerry. He's not doing the right thing. Not doing the right thing. And Obama with another executive action? And Hillary calling Putin Hitler? How much worse can it get? Much worse. Much worse. This is going to get worse. This is going to get worse, not better. They're not solving the problem. They're creating the problem. They want a hot war. The munitions manufacturers want the war. It's the same story all over again. The armaments manufacturers, what we used to call them, call them way back before I was born. Now they're called, I don't even know what they call them. Military, who knows what they call them? I don't know what you call warmongers. I have no idea. Carry on talks with Russia's Lavrov. Mm-hmm. Hillary compares him to Hitler. Well, what do you want to talk about? I'm not going to do the meatball recipe, nor am I going to talk about gorillas, but I will talk about the war. But I'm going to do it in a very sober, somber, middle-of-the-road manner. You'll notice that I'm not going to lose my cool. I'm not going to lose my temper. I'm not going to yell. I'm not going to scream. We have to ride this out. It's going to get worse, ladies and gentlemen, not better. It's going to get much, much worse. Much worse. And we've got to pray for the children of Ukraine, children of Russia, children of Crimea. We must pray for the children. We must. We must, because they're going to be the ones who suffer the most. Just as Serbian orphanages were bombed by Bill Clinton and NATO in order to steal Kosovo from the Serbs, orphanages were bombed, hospitals were bombed, schools were bombed, children were killed. You didn't read about that. It's all been swept under the rug. The World War criminal was Madeleine Albright. She salivated over it, as did Jamie Rubin, if I remember correctly. He was literally foaming on the sides of his mouth. He worked for her as a sort of altar boy in the Church of Albright. He was the husband, I think still is, of Christiane Amanpour, with the mock British accent. Christiane Amanpour. Whenever I hear a mock British accent, I reach for my Glock. That's all I can tell you. I feel like they're coming for me. Watch out for people with fake high-class accents. I grew up with them in the garment center. I mean, the fact of the matter is, I'd rather hear a fish peddler than a fake British accent. I'd rather hear a heavy immigrant accent than a fake British accent run by me by some a faker who's trying to pretend they're high class. It is definitely going to get hotter before it gets cooler. And at the same time this is going on, the First Lady is in Miami telling illegals to sign up for the Unaffordable Care Act, and it will not be used for deportation. Of course it's an Affordable Care Act if you're not paying for it, and the hardworking American citizens are. Sure. It's very affordable if you don't belong in the country and you get a gold-plated health care system. That's why Hillary's laughing. She got what she's always wanted. You say one-sixth of the economy. I would beg to differ with you. It's more than one-sixth of the economy what's coming. And with the ambulances, the fake drugs, the fake patients, the triple billing, the quadruple billing, and the government running it, it'll be closer to what it is in Cuba, probably, than it is here. Anyway, how do you feel about Ukraine? You think we belong there? I don't. We have no business in Ukraine. It's not our affair. And yet Obama, the peace stick, just sent F-15s to Europe to augment NATO's Air Force. God knows what they fly. Maybe they fly old Dassault Falcons. I don't know. I don't know what they're flying these days. So now we have our boys are going to be flying against Russian pilots. Isn't that wonderful to have a man of peace like Obama escalating us into World War III? And such a skilled negotiator as John Kerry, a great, great man unto himself, escalating the crisis one step at a time while pretending he's not escalating the crisis. These are very dangerous times. These are very dangerous times. These are not ordinary times. You know, the world has changed under your feet. You're living through history. You're watching the most incompetent, divisive government in history trying to handle an international situation, and instead of de-escalating the tensions, they're escalating the tensions. Did you hear what I just said? They're escalating the war tensions. It's just gotten worse, not better. The Russians just sank one of their own ships into the entrance of the Black Sea to prevent our fleet, perhaps, from entering to challenge their warm sea fleet. Do you realize this is a slow-motion war emerging? I am reminded, and I want to remind you, of what I watched many years ago. I watched this as though it was a movie, and that was the beginning of the war in Yugoslavia. One gunboat, some old gunboat from Vietnam era, Korean War era that we sold, one of the sides over there, started to shell one of the beautiful cities in the Adriatic belonging to the opposition, the other religion. I looked at it, I thought it was, what am I, was this kidding? It was like a movie created by Spielberg. A few shells were lobbed into a town. I said, this is crazy. Well, the next thing we knew, there was decimation on both sides. It started slowly. But remember, even dwarfs started small. This is a war, and this administration is trying to encourage it, not discourage it. But they're so skilled at what they're doing that the very same people who act as though they want peace are actually planning for war. And the very same newscasters who are against guns, against violence, against bullying, are cheering on every statement made against Putin. They're demonizing Putin. All of the empty skirts in the media are sitting there sneering like the rotten, stinking girls that they are, cheering on a world war. So it's hard for me to do this without getting angry. And I'll bring it back to you. Let's bring it on home. Let's bring it on home, boys and girls. What business have we in Ukraine? Answer, none. None. What is in our business? Why are we involved if we're not imperialistic? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It's in Russia's sphere of influence. Whether they're right or wrong is a separate question. We are not the world's policemen. We just had our behinds whipped in Afghanistan because of this pacifist, backstabbing administration who didn't give our troops the weapons they needed or the authority to win the war. We just got our behinds beaten in Afghanistan after getting our behinds kicked in Iraq and getting kicked out of Iraq by those rotten, stinking people in Iraq who our men died for what? What did they die for? What are all the body bags for? What are all the crippled and broken hearts for? For what? So those ingrates in Iraq can sell their oil to China? And our corrupt administration and the last corrupt administration that didn't demand one barrel of oil from Iraq in reparation? It cost us, what, $1 trillion? $3 trillion? I would have said, okay, you owe us $3 trillion in free oil. Instead, we let him sell the oil to China. So tell me whose side the administration is on, and tell me whose side the Bush administration was on, and tell me what side you're on. You want another war? What, you're going to fight it? You're going to put on a uniform with John McCain and Lindsey Graham and pick up an M4 and go over there and fight for Ukraine? Why doesn't John McCain go put on his old military uniform? Why doesn't Lindsey Graham go over that warmonger? You want the other? You want someone else's son to die for this war, don't you? So that the Democrats can be boosted in ratings and the economy can soar again. Do you have any idea what this will do if this turns into a war? The economy will boom. Obama's popularity will soar and Hillary will be the next president. This explains what they're doing. It's all self-interest. It's not all his vanity. No, it's all self-interest. It's all self-interest. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Okay, 855-400-7282. 855-400-7282. Moscow secures Crimea with air defense missile drill. Obama has a Songfest with Aretha Franklin in the White House and welcomes everyone to the party. Do you think it was appropriate for Obama to have a party last night in the White House? You can't answer it because there's no answer for it that's rational. How could you have a president at a time like this celebrating with a sort of party, like a jazz party in the White House? What is the man thinking? Well, let's put it another way in case you can't think anymore. Let's say you're Putin and you see this president of ours having a party in the White House last night while you're moving 1,000 missiles into the Crimea. What would you think? He's just moved 1,000 missile and tank units into the area, and Obama moved a bunch of Songfest listeners into the White House. You see, what's dangerous here is the weakness of our leader. You don't understand this. A weak leader is more dangerous than a strong leader. And a weak leader is capable of an hysterical action at any time. He's liable to lash out in the wrong way. He won't listen to his generals, I can guarantee you. Any general that's left who might suggest something, and I doubt that there are many left who would dare say one word to Obama. I think he got rid of all of the others. Even if there were a few generals who would advise him one way or the other, they would not speak out because they're afraid of him. And we know what happens when dictators get lost in their own hubris and won't listen to their generals. We know what could happen here. Don't say it's impossible. 855-407-282. Well, here we are. It's Friday. It's hour number three in the Savage Nation, and your president and first lady are on vacation. That's right. The Ukraine may be blowing up. Warships are moving. Fighter planes are moving. But our president's on a spring break, along with the first lady and the first daughters. Dare we say it? Are we allowed to say first lady? Ooh, there's a first for everything. And she is the first lady for sure who has taken so many vacations. Yes, yes, indeed. Putin, of course, is laughing at our dear leader. He's moving his military while Obama's moving Air Force One to a new spring break location as we speak. I just can't get no respect. I tell you, I can't get no respect. They're all laughing at me, left and right. I guess I'll have to attack another Tea Party group. Yeah, it would be fun and laughable if it wasn't so serious. The problem is, the U.S. is attempting empire building in the Ukraine, according to me and Ron Paul. That's right. All those of you who don't understand me but love Ron Paul, pay careful attention to what he said. He said that the hostilities are rooted in empire building and vying for geopolitical control. Ron Paul and Michael Savage say that it makes no sense for America to become entangled in the affairs of Ukraine. Paul said, I don't think we have any business there. I said, I don't think we have any business there. And yet the fake conservatives called me a non-conservative because I said we have no business there. Oh, I know Rush wants to rush in. I know Wallbanger wants to bang in. I know the lawyer wants to bang in. Why don't they put on a uniform and go over there? Over there, over there. Why don't they go join the military and help build a new American empire? What a bunch of... Anyway, I agree with Ron Paul. He agrees with me. He's a libertarian. I'm an independent conservative. And I believe that we have no business there. Moreover, we're out of money. How are we going to bail out Ukraine with $1 billion in loan guarantees? Where's the money coming from? Over there. Over there. Well, if they have enough money to send the first family on vacation after vacation on a credit card. See, Obama has a credit card that daddy gave him. Your daddy. And he just keeps using your credit card. And it doesn't matter what he does with it. Because no one can stop him. See, there's no one to stop him. See, there's no one to stop him. Oh, did I say that? Okay, I'll say it again. You see, there's no one to stop him. Now, if you go to michaelsavage.com, which you should do every day, Russia is set for large-scale air defense drills as tensions with America heighten over the fate of Crimea and Obama's on vacation. Russia's setting up large-scale air defense drills. Huh! How do you like that? And you thought they'd lay down for the four horsewomen of the apocalypse. Relax, America. Putin isn't about to destroy Obama's latest vacation. They know he needs a good break. You understand? In the name of America, he needs a good break, a good golfing. She needs a new dress. They need a little quality time to themselves. Just sign the form. Don't leave any money on the table. And if that's not enough, my friends, Hillary said that Putin is Hitler. Wow. That's very diplomatic. You think that was a mistake? You think that was a mistake to compare Putin to Hitler? Well, I think so. I think so. There's no comparison whatsoever. After 13 years in power, what has Putin done? He directed his army in the Crimea to take control of this peninsula where Russia has put its Black Sea fleet since Napoleon. Yet to the Wall Street Journal, this is blitzkrieg. To Hillary Clinton, this is Hitler. It just shows you how imbalanced the Wall Street Journal and Hillary Clinton can be. All this and more right here. Give me 15 minutes and I've given you America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. If talk radio came with a warning label, listen before it does. On the only conservative station in the Bay Area, Hot Talk 560, KSFO.